It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Fire and fury. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast.
No justice!
Rage has taken root in America.
Until we have justice, there will be no peace.
Anti-police protests turning violent again last night. Hundreds arrested in Minneapolis, where a black man died in police custody 1 week ago. Reporter Michael George is there.
Violence broke out after an interstate in Minneapolis was shut down and a semi-truck drove through the crowd. Video shows protesters apparently dragging the driver out of the truck and beating him.
In New York City, rioters torched police cars. Reporter Sean Adams in Union Square.
There are words in spray paint that I can't repeat on the radio. Broadway here is littered with trash, a shattered glass, garbage cans and dumpsters are overturned. The vandalism, the looting, the graffiti. We're talking about trouble with a capital T.
And rioters ransacked small businesses in Atlanta, too.
When it got dark, it got ugly, and it got ugly quick.
In Philadelphia, looters took off with televisions from broken into grocery stores. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf.
It was a challenging day for the Commonwealth. Some people took advantage of these peaceful protests, and they incited violence and looting.
Throngs of community activists stood shoulder to shoulder in South Philly this morning to protect a Target store. Reporter Aisha Hanzi says the rioters are getting help from outside agitators.
This was really a game of cat and mouse. More of them, less of the police. Police would move from one corner to another. The looters would then move to and break into the stores. They brought hammers. We saw some box cutters. They were prepared.
In Louisville overnight, a man was shot and killed during a protest. A security guard died in Oakland while protecting a federal courthouse. In many cases, the chaos orchestrated.
I would say the thing that we're struck by is that it was an organized group that appeared more bent on destruction than on protest.
That's the mayor of Washington, D.C. But the demonstrations were not all violent. In Denver, thousands laid on the ground for 9 minutes chanting, "I can't breathe."
We don't have to retaliate with anger. We retaliate with love.
President Trump had to be whisked away to a secret bunker Friday night after fires were set to an historic church across the street from the White House.
You can see that fire just in front of the White House.
National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien says the cop who killed George Floyd is the exception, not the rule, when it comes to law enforcement.
99.9% of our law enforcement officers are great Americans, and many of them are African American, Hispanic, Asian. They're working in the toughest neighborhoods. They've got the hardest jobs to do in this country.
O'Brien thinks there are a few bad apples in the policing profession, but there is not, he says, systemic racism.
There's some that are just bad cops, and they need to be rooted out because there's a few bad apples that are giving law enforcement a terrible name.
62,000 National Guard troops have been deployed to 22 states. Attorney General Bill Barr is demanding law and order be restored.
The rioting that is occurring in many of our cities around the country. The voices of peaceful protest are being hijacked. In many places, it appears the violence is planned, organized, and driven by anarchic and left extremist groups, far left extremist groups, using Antifa-like tactics.
The Trump administration today labeling Antifa a domestic terrorism group. The president hosting a conference call today on law and order with the nation's governors. Nationwide protests against police brutality sparking fear of a possible spread of coronavirus. Yes, we are still in the midst of this pandemic. The daily demonstrations causing concern about a COVID-19 comeback.
There's no question that when you put hundreds or thousands of people together in close proximity, when we've got this virus all over the streets, it's not healthy.
That is the governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan.
There's about a 14-day incubation period, so 2 weeks from now across America, we're going to find out whether or not this gives us a spike in drives the numbers back up again.
The protests come as more beaches, churches, schools, and businesses reopen. Experts say that could lead to an increase in infections. Grocery stores and gardening centers aren't the only ones raking in the dough during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Bert?
Hello.
Trevor Evans, FBI.
Streaming services like Netflix are booming. A survey by CreditCards.com shows 31% of us U.S. have added a streaming service to our home since the coronavirus restrictions were imposed. 52% have shared an account with somebody outside the home. 4 minutes after the hour, still to come on the Noon Report. Curfew tonight in New York and Pennsylvania. School back in the fall in Pennsylvania. And the dentist is in today in New York.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, calling for a fairly pleasant afternoon, but there are some showers coming up for tomorrow and Wednesday. Forecast details are yours in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin, we'll see you then. Checking the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania this Monday afternoon. Tomorrow is primary day in Pennsylvania. Residents have their choice of voting by mail-in ballot or going to the polls the old-fashioned way. All counties, including those still in the red phase of the governor's color-coded COVID-19 reopening strategy, will have polling places open for voters. Voters without face masks will not be turned away, but they are strongly encouraged to wear one. Anyone with a mail-in ballot should drop it off at your local county election office, and the polls are open tomorrow, primary day in Pennsylvania, from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Curfews in effect again tonight for many cities and counties across the listening area. This as police brace for more violent demonstrations over the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Syracuse Police Chief Kenton Buckner.
The things that happened to Mr. Floyd should not have happened, but we can't damage our cities in the pursuit of justice.
Cops had to use pepper bombs and rubber bullets to disperse crowds that vandalized many downtown businesses in Syracuse. In Buffalo, Mayor Byron Brown says criminal activity will not be tolerated.
There is no place for breaking windows, for setting vehicles on fire, for pulling people out of cars and beating them.
The city of Buffalo and all of Erie County will be locked down again tonight. In Rochester, Maddie Gonzalez was beaten by a gang of rioters while trying to protect her apartment.
I did have a slight concussion. My ears were ringing for a long time afterwards, and I have a huge bruise on the side of me.
Gonzalez had to be hospitalized after being punched and hit with 2x4.
It all got crazy. That 2x4, man, I can't believe how I... Sorry.
Do you have any regrets about jumping in, Maddie?
Gonzalez says she was protecting her home and she'd do it again if she had to. Elsewhere across the listening area, a man shot during a riot in Erie, Pennsylvania over the weekend. That city under a state of emergency, and there's a state of emergency as well in Vestal as cops try to protect people and property from protesters. In Binghamton, New York, a playground used by kids with disabilities was burned to the ground overnight. Mayor Rich David says the act of arson was related to those anti-police riots.
We are not going to be defined by this one act. We are not going to be deterred by this cowardly act of destruction in our community. That rebuilding begins today.
The Broome County District Attorney promises the criminals responsible for the playground fire will be brought to justice. Crews responding to the blaze around 1 o'clock this morning. The entire playground was destroyed by flames, and several fundraisers are underway to help rebuild that park there in Binghamton, New York. The president of the New York State Troopers Union is calling on Governor Cuomo to condemn what they call the appalling violence directed at police during these recent demonstrations. A statement issued by the union accuses the governor of offering, quote, zero support, end quote, to law enforcement. Amid a weekend of national unrest, a doctor in Western New York is hopeful that people will not forget about the ongoing coronavirus pandemic.
It's still a thing very much. The coronavirus is still around.
Absolutely.
That's Dr. Joseph Chow. He is the medical director of Immediate Care in Buffalo.
We certainly need a few weeks to understand if all these gatherings are going to cause a spike.
Just a week ago, officials urged the public to limit their gatherings to 10 people or less. About 1,000 people gathered for a protest yesterday in Niagara Square.
I think we're going to see over the course of a few months, these spikes, whether the protests or other gatherings, really just put it in that bucket of larger gatherings causes that, really remains to be seen, but it will take 2 to 3 weeks before we see any kind of repercussions from it.
Dr. Chow says what happens next will tell us an awful lot about the staying power of coronavirus. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf says schools will be open in the fall, even if there's a second wave of COVID-19. We get that story from Family Life's Terry Diener.
The governor said the state can't do another lockdown. He was responding to a question about schools and if they will open next fall. He said they will, though the exact timing and circumstances will be up to the individual school districts. Barring disaster, come August and September, the goal is to have schools open. Official guidance will likely be released early this week. Schools have been closed since March the 13th. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Your dentist's office is open again. New York dentists in the Empire State resuming non-emergency procedures today with social distancing guidelines in place. They got the green light to resume cleanings and other operations after Governor Cuomo announced that the coronavirus hospitalization and death rate continues to decline.
We beat this virus, and if we're smart, we'll continue to beat it.
54 people died yesterday coronavirus in New York. That is an all-time low since this pandemic began. 5 regions of upstate New York now in the second phase of reopening, and western New York will follow suit tomorrow. It's been an unusual commencement season for high school and college graduates in this coronavirus era. Elmira College in New York Southern Tier making an effort to honor the class of 2020. We hear about it from Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
In honor of the class of 2020, the school's president, Charles Lindsay, hosted a Facebook Live commencement celebration that featured the traditional toast and raising of the class banner. He tells WETM,
"It's a sad moment because it's really something where there's a culmination, the end of the year, lots of excitement and celebration, and not to be able to shake students' hands is really a disappointment."
Lindsay said they'll be doing something in person later in the summer for recent grads, but hasn't announced what they'll be doing exactly just yet. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much for that. Sports next. It is the 2-Minute Drill, a Monday edition on Family Life. Here's Sonny Delphiet.
Thank you, Bob. Let's go racing in Tennessee, where the race announcers had this to say about Brad Keselowski.
He's going to steal another one.
Yeah, he is.
2 Sundays in a row.
Great job.
Brad Keselowski wins Bristol. Can you believe it?
Brad Keselowski inherited the lead with 3 laps to go. Went on to win the Supermarket Heroes 500 at Bristol Motor Speedway for a second Cup Series victory in a week. Keselowski won last Sunday's Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He moved to the front when race leaders Chase Elliott and Joey Logano collided and crashed while battling for top position. Clint Bowyer finished second. Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch, and Eric Jones completing the top 5. Elliott and Logano ended outside of the top 20 following that wreck. Major League Baseball players are proposing a 114-game regular season while continuing to balk at any further reductions in pay. The players offer calls for a delayed 2020 regular season to begin June 30th and end October 31st, and a playoff system involving 14 teams to follow. In their latest proposal to the players' union, MLB owners had called for an 82-game regular season followed by a 14-team postseason and a sliding scale pay system that would reduce salaries beyond the prorated plan the players had agreed to in March. UFC light heavyweight champion and Endicott, New York native Johnny Bones Jones announced on social media he'll relinquish his belt due to a pay dispute with UFC president Dana White. The disagreement stems from a proposed bout with heavyweight Francis Ngannou, in which White claimed Jones is asking anywhere between $15 to $30 million. Jones is considered the best pound-for-pound fighter by many in the UFC. And the NHL plans to test all players daily for the coronavirus when the 2019-20 season is able to restart. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley said players will be tested every evening and the results will be obtained before they can leave their hotel rooms for the next morning. It should be a cost of over $4 million just for the test. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
All right, Sonny, thank you for that. Still to come on the Noon Report for Monday, we'll tell you about a day of caring in the Flower City. Dr. Ralph Kerr talking about school opening up in the fall. Going to be a lot different. And the latest on those riots that are raging across America.
There's no way we can respond to the deep injustices of our broken world unless we're formed as people of both truth and love. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Outrage erupted across the country this week after video surfaced of a Minneapolis police officer kneeling on the neck of George Floyd for nearly 10 minutes. In the horrifying video, Floyd begs for air before bystanders plead for his life. In the end, Floyd, an African American suspected of no violent crime but of grocery store forgery, died. The four police officers involved were fired almost immediately. The FBI opened an investigation and the Justice Department pledged to make this case a top priority. Earlier this week, Detroit area pastor Chris Brooks, a former Colson Center board member and close friend, posted a picture of Floyd on Facebook along with this quote that's often attributed to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. We must say first that George Floyd was an image bearer of his creator. His death is awful. It's tragic and it should not have happened. Floyd's murder has opened up, yet again, so many larger, painful cultural issues that we face, especially those having to do with race. Also revealed, again, and painfully so, is just how essential justice is, especially for victims and family members, but also for entire communities. Civilizations can sustain many things, but not when perpetual injustices go unaddressed. Still, we must not forget, in the midst of all of these important discussions that we must have, that George Floyd was a real person. Too often, when videos like this one go viral, and God help us and forgive us, there are too many, we automatically run to ideological and political corners, turning victims like George Floyd into a prop for our own positions. The most obvious example is those using this killing to justify looting stores and destroying property. Other examples include resorting to whataboutisms, as if some other unrelated wrong somehow diminishes the evil of this act, or implying that one can only support either the police and law and order or African Americans and justice, as if these are somehow mutually exclusive options. But above all, I, as a follower of Jesus who happens to be white, can listen. I can. Indeed, if I'm to love my neighbor as Christ commanded, I must care about the suffering of my fellow citizens, especially my brothers and sisters in Christ. The church can lead this culture in addressing this kind of suffering and its root causes, in advancing justice and caring for victims. In fact, not only can they, but who else could? This Monday is the launch of the third module of our Truth Love Together virtual event. It's entitled Becoming People of Love and Truth. And I can't imagine how it could be more timely. The enemy uses situations like the police killing of George Floyd to drive us away from both truth and from love, to counterfeits. We must not deny the truth of what happened to George Floyd, and we won't reach justice, much less reconciliation, without hard, sacrificial, and biblical love. So please come to conference.colsoncenter.org, that's conference.colsoncenter.org, to watch Module 3, Becoming People of Truth and Love. May God grant comfort to the family of George Floyd. May He grant peace to the city of Minneapolis, justice for the officers involved, safety to all affected by the related violence, and power to His church so that we would become the agents of peace and reconciliation, the people of truth and love that our world needs so desperately right now. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Weather where you live is next. It's the Work Week Forecast with meteorologist Kevin Williams. We'll be right back. right, Kevin, thank you very much for that. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price, and here's what's going on. This Monday afternoon, the first day of June already, what began in Minneapolis has spread to cities across the country. Death of an unarmed black man while in police custody, unleashing a torrent of violence, the likes of which America hasn't seen in decades.
Imagine if it was your child. How would you feel? Screaming, I can't breathe. Help me. So until we have justice, there will be no peace.
Dozens of cities turned into war zones again last night as rioters clashed with cops over what happened to George Floyd. He's the 46-year-old man who died with a knee on his neck 1 week ago. Reporter Nathan Baca watched a protest turn violent last night in the nation's capital.
You see protesters, some of them women, men, most of them younger, coming right up to the police. But then you see fireworks and firecrackers being launched here in the street. So those police are about to advance any second now. And the flashbangs are being launched.
One building near the White House was set ablaze, forcing the president into a secret bunker Friday night. Stores were ransacked and looted last night in Philadelphia and in New York City. In Los Angeles, Mayor Eric Garcetti.
To those who are hurting, we hear you. And to those who are acting criminally by smashing windows and looting, we see what you are doing, and we will arrest you.
The Minneapolis cop accused of third-degree murder in the death of George Floyd has been moved to a secure location. The offending officer, Derek Chauvin, scheduled to make his first court appearance today. That hearing has now been moved until next Monday. Correspondent Gabe Gutierrez says the neck restraint he used on Floyd has been used before.
Since 2015, officers from the Minneapolis Police Department have used so-called neck restraints, using an arm or leg to compress someone's neck, on suspects more than 200 times. And in at least 44 of those cases, the suspects lost consciousness.
Activists want the three other officers who assisted in the arrest of George Floyd to face charges as well. All have been fired from their jobs. Floyd's family will be releasing results soon from an independent autopsy.
The Floyd family and their attorney released a statement saying they reject the notion that the knee from the police officer on George's neck for almost 9 minutes was not the proximate cause of his death. They want Derek Chauvin to be charged with first-degree murder.
That's Jamie Yukis in Minneapolis. In other news today, a new ABC News Washington Post poll gives former Vice President Joe Biden a 10-point lead over President Trump in the 2020 race for the White House. The survey has Biden up 53-43% and leading in several key battleground states. The Republican National Committee is giving North Carolina's governor just two more days to guarantee full service at the GOP National Convention. Charlotte is scheduled to host the Republican National Convention in late August. The RNC sent a letter to Governor Roy Cooper over the weekend requesting that hotels and restaurants operate at full capacity for that event. If that cannot happen, the GOP may move the political pep rally to another city in another state. Some 200 miles above Earth, astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley have arrived at the International Space Station.
Thank you for everything. Happy to be aboard.
On Saturday, they blasted off from Cape Canaveral aboard the SpaceX Falcon rocket, becoming the first astronauts sent to orbit by a private company.
Hurley and Behnken will spend the next 6 weeks aboard the space station and as long as 4 months. They can only hope the rest of their mission goes as well as the trip to their new home in space.
Correspondent Mark Strassman. Worldwide, planet Earth and its inhabitants continue to recover from coronavirus.
Italy, which was hit so hard early on, continues to reopen. Tourist sites like the Leaning Tower of Pisa have rolled out the new normal, a gadget that glows red when visitors get too close. In other countries over the worst, there's another sign of recovery. Schools reopening from South Korea to Holland, where there's a new classroom normal, plexiglass pupil shield.
Correspondent Elizabeth Palmer. We're coming up on 24 past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report, a Monday edition on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the weighty issues that impact our public schooling families with a good doctor, Ralph Kerr, at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Ralph, no public schooling families these days. They're all homeschooled, and they have been for several months and will be for several more months. Those of you that continue your online learning, I want to talk about the fall to start. The CDC last week, you might remember, issuing those, some would say, controversial guidelines. Should the schools reopen? Such things as, you know, spacing the desks 6 feet apart, no more extracurricular activities or field trips, kids eating lunch at their desk, teachers in face masks. How realistic, Ralph, that these guidelines will be adopted in the fall in New York and Pennsylvania?
I think a lot of them will be adopted because there's so much pressure to get school reopened in the fall. I think the 6 feet apart is doable with the average class size, particularly when recent reports are saying that as many as 30% of the parents, I can't imagine this after what they've been through, but 30% of the parents will be hesitant to send their children back to school. But I think in the classroom, I was actually doing some calculating, and in an average classroom, I think you could get 18 children in and give them 6 feet of space.
Mm-hmm.
The extracurricular and field trips, that's definitely doable, and kids eating their lunch at their desks, that's going to be a little bit of a problem because teachers are not going to be willing, or should they, be with the children from first thing in the morning to the afternoon, including lunch and all that. So it's going to have to be some special arrangements made for that. And I think teachers may have an option of wearing a mask. And certainly my concern is that older teachers or teachers that have compromised health situations, it's going to be really tricky for them. And I do think that schools should be open to allowing people like that to use their sick leave if they have it, rather than have them be compromised by the whole situation.
Yeah, I would hate to be the one tasked with socially distancing six-year-olds, Ralph. I can't imagine that would be easy. Let's just switch gears a little bit and talk about the class of 2020. You know, this is the time of year, the pomp and circumstance. In-person graduations. There's a great debate about whether districts should be doing this. There was even legislation in Albany this week saying that, yes, there is a way to do this responsibly, to have these outdoor ceremonies. I know some schools are having them at drive-in movie theaters. What do you think, Ralph? Should districts be doing all they can to try and have in-person graduation ceremonies, or is it just too risky, you think?
No, I really think if they can accommodate it, they should do it. And particularly last weekend when, you know, beaches and parks were open, it would seem to me that schools may be able to find a place outdoors, as you mentioned, a drive-in theater or maybe the football field or something like that, where they could have the ceremony. It is a big deal. And if it's possible to do it outside, I would certainly encourage that it be done.
All right. Siena College pollsters put out a survey. I had to ask you this. Two-thirds of New Yorkers believe there will be school in the fall, even though 75% believe there's a good chance that we're going to see a second wave of this virus. The governor will come out with guidelines in June for reopening. Districts, from what I've been told, will submit their plans for reopening by July. What's your sense, Ralph, that when it all is said and done, the million-dollar question, there will be public schools open for business in the fall?
Yeah, I believe there will be. There are going to be a lot of accommodations have to be made. But as I said at the beginning, there's so much pressure to get schools reopened that I think the creative people that are in charge in schools will be able to figure it out. And I'm sure the teachers and other staff will be supportive as long as they're included in the planning. And I think we will see school. It won't be like it's been in the past, But I think you will see schools reopen in a very modified form come September or late August.
All right. And before we go, the mail-in school board elections, that's mail, M-A-I-L, not M-A-L-E. So it's all by mail this year, but it's so important you take part, Ralph. When does that vote happen in New York?
Yeah, it actually happens on June 6th, and people should have their ballots now. They were mailed out by the districts. If you didn't get one, be sure to call the district and ask for your ballot. And then be sure to get it returned as soon as you receive it, voting for the school budget and also for the school board members that are listed on the ballot. It's very important. As we've said before, in normal school board elections, there's like 10% of the people vote. And this is an opportunity to really increase that percentage. And I would certainly encourage people to be sure to return their mail-in ballot.
All right. And if folks have questions about that, you have a wonderful website, Ralph, where they can go and learn more. If you would, sir, where is that?
That website is simply whyrun.org, whyrun.org.
Thank you, Ralph. Issues in Education, the name of the program, comes your way Mondays during the noon report. Before we go, let's head to the Weather Center one more time.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The area of high pressure that has brought us the cool, dry weather will be forsaking us over the next few days. The result, those temperatures will be heading up, but some raindrops ultimately will be coming down. The afternoon, though, looks nice. This afternoon brings sunny to partly cloudy skies for most, high temps in the 60s generally. Tonight, fair early, then clouding up, and overnight there could be a couple of showers for western New York and western Pennsylvania. Low temperatures, mid-40s to the mid-50s. Rather cloudy with some showers tomorrow in the 60s. Rather cloudy, warmer Wednesday with showers and the risk of a thunderstorm. The high temperature Wednesday will be in the 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. And finally at noon, 3,000 people took part in a day of caring yesterday in Rochester, New York.
We need a crew to head to the 700 block of West Main and Jefferson, please.
The community-minded volunteers gathered at Frontier Field and then dispersed throughout the city to help clean up the graffiti and broken glass from a night of violent riot.
It's a very beautiful thing seeing everybody here, just a diverse pool of people coming to help. We're going to help clean up, rebuild our city, make sure it's good to go.
As the sun rose over the damaged city, neighbors tried to make sense of the mess left behind.
I just couldn't believe it, I think I needed to see it with my own eyes.
With so much sadness and disbelief in the air came acts of compassion.
We thought they deserved them. They needed them more than we did.
A bouquet of flowers left outside a damaged store on Main Street.
This is really important, and Rochester is still our home. It's still a really beautiful city, and we just want to get it back to its beautiful self.
Brooms, rakes, gloves, and garbage bags, not weapons, in Rochester yesterday. The tools of hope and peace in the Flower City. Let's hope it catches on. That's the world we live in. Monday, the very first day of June. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.